time again for the Warren County Radio Bible School, and today we're studying an old Sunday school lesson prepared by E.A. Elam for the Sunday schools of May the 1st, 1927, about Peter's denial and repentance. And we'll be getting to that in just a moment. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now, in these Sunday school lessons, it is common to have helps or hints and helps for the teacher. And we have a number of that here for this lesson. Let me go over some of these. It says, let us study all the facts connected with Peter's denial of Jesus and his repentance. John 13 gives an account of the Passover Supper, during which the Lord's Supper was instituted, also a part of the conversation at that table. At this point, it seems that the warning to Peter and the other apostles was given when Jesus made the startling statement that all would forsake him that night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered abroad. Mark 14:27 and John 16:32. When Jesus announced that one would betray him, they each asked, Lord, is it I? But now none can ask that, for all are included. All ye shall be offended in me this night. Matthew 26:31. Sometime before this, Jesus sent to John the Baptist, then in prison, the following exhortation. And blessed is he whosoever shall find no occasion of stumbling in me. Matthew 11 and verse 6. To be offended and to stumble means the same. And to stumble means to do wrong, to sin. How soon this followed. But after I am risen up, I will go before you into Galilee, Matthew 26:32. Jesus offered to the apostles, startled over the declaration that they would all forsake him and scatter, the encouragement that they would again be gathered together, return to him, and see him in Galilee. He refers here again to his resurrection, after he rose from the dead. The angel told the good women who visited the empty tomb to go tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him as he said unto you. Mark 16 and verse 7. Matthew 28, 7, 10, and 16. This was not the first place or time the apostles saw Jesus, taking the entire record into consideration, but they saw him there as he had appointed. The impulsive and bold Peter declared vehemently that although all should be caused to stumble in Jesus, he never would be. But Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, this night before the cock crow thou shalt deny me thrice. Matthew 26:34. Mark 14:30 says, Verily I say unto thee, that thou today, even this night before the cock crow, twice shall deny me thrice. To make this declaration stronger, Peter added, Even if I must die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Matthew 26:35. In John 13:31-38, Jesus states that he would leave his disciples, and that whether he went, they could not go. Peter said, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered, Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, Why cannot I follow thee even now? I will lay down my life for thee. Jesus answered, Wilt thou lay down thy life for me? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. Jesus was going, for one place, to the cross and to death, and Peter could not then go with him, because he was not prepared to die for Jesus, though he vehemently declared he would do so. Jesus declared that Peter, later on, would have the faith and courage to die for him, that this is the way Peter's life would end. Likewise said all the disciples, that is, all joined Peter in these declarations of being ready to die for Jesus. When Jesus was arrested at the gate of the Garden of Gethsemane, Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it. John 8 and verse 10. It seems that Peter was willing to fight to the death for Jesus on that occasion. There were only two swords in the company of the 12. How they came to be there were not told. Just before that Jesus had said, And he that hath none, let him sell him cloak and buy a sword. And they said, Lord, behold, here are two swords. And he said unto them, It is enough. Luke 22:36-38. Why they should have a sword, we do not know, except it was for this occasion, for their own protection, that Jesus might the more strongly impress the lesson, that all that take the sword shall perish with the sword. He does not encourage its use, and on this occasion its use would not have been proper. All the apostles said, Lord, shall we smite with a sword? And before the question was answered, Peter, who had one of the two swords, put the thought into action and cut off the right ear of Malchus, the servant of the high priest, John 18:10. Then said Jesus to Peter, Put up again thy sword into its place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Or thinkest thou that I cannot beseech my Father, and he shall even now send me more than 12 legions of angels? How then should the Scriptures be fulfilled, that thus it must be? Matthew 26:52-54. Having said this, Jesus graciously healed Malchus's ear, John 18:10. The bewildered and hopeless disciples, not permitted to fight, seeing Jesus bound and in the hands of the enemy, all left him and fled, Mark 14:50. In addition to what had already been said, Jesus asked, The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Peter, with his sword, his worldly wisdom, his physical courage, would not only hinder Christ's great work of redemption, but destroy it altogether. Just so today, in worldly wisdom, a warlike spirit, not a few, claiming to be followers of the meek and lowly Savior, would destroy the mission of Jesus of peace on earth and salvation of the race. I know that the governments of men are authorized to use the sword, but that is not how we fight and defend the church of our Lord in the kingdom of heaven. It is a spiritual kingdom and not an earthly one. Let's look at the explanatory notes. And I want to go back and read Mark 14 and verse 53. It says, They led Jesus away to the high priest, and there come together with him all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes. Jesus was bound and led from Gethsemane back to Jerusalem, to Annas first, the father-in-law to Caiaphas. Annas had been high priest, but had been deposed by the Romans. Five of his sons, it is said, were high priests in succession. Also his son-in-law was high priest. In Luke chapter 3 and verse 2, the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas is mentioned. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 6, Annas is called the high priest. Originally, the high priest was appointed for life, but the Romans removed him and appointed another when they saw fit. Annas may have been considered by the Jews the real high priest, while Caiaphas wore the title and served by Roman appointment. Caiaphas served about 10 years, from A.D. 27 to A.D. 36 or 37. He was unfit to judge Jesus because he had already expressed an opinion that had advised the condemnation of Jesus in John 11, 50 and 51. But the Jews cared nothing for justice. The Sanhedrin was the council, composed of 70 members. This is supposed to have originated with the 70 elders appointed by Moses in Numbers chapter 11, and was the highest court of justice among the Jews. The Jews could try cases and condemn criminals, but under the Romans, they could not inflict capital punishment. Jesus was bound and led from Gethsemane to Annas first, and then to Caiaphas. And there come together with him all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes. This was the palace of the high priest. Now we read in Mark chapter 14 in verse 54. And Peter had followed him afar off, even within, into the court of the high priest, and was sitting with the officers and warming himself by the light of the fire. Peter and John, having recovered their courage after first alarm and flight, followed Jesus to the high priest's palace. And John, being known to the high priest, now how they knew him we do not know, but they entered in with Jesus into the court of the high priest. But Peter was standing at the door without. John 18, 15 through 16. Peter had followed Jesus afar off. The palace was a square or rectangular building erected around a quadrangular space in the center, open to the sky for light and ventilation. This open space was called the court. It was usually paved. It opened onto the street through an arched way or vestibule called the porch. On each side of this court were rooms, and back of it, opposite the entrance, was a hall elevated a few steps above the court floor, in which the Sanhedrin at this time probably met with Caiaphas to try Jesus. It seemed quite possible that Annas and Caiaphas occupied the same palace and that Peter's denials were made in the same court. When Peter was refused an entrance, standing yet at the door on the street, John went back and spoke to the maid who kept the door and brought him in also. This was during the trial before Annas. And then we read about Peter's first denial. This is in Mark chapter 14, verses 66 and 67. And as Peter was beneath in the court, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest, and seeing Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, Thou also wast with the Nazarene, even Jesus. The maid understood that John was a disciple of Jesus, and following Peter to the fire within, she gave him a scrutinizing look and said, Thou also wast with Jesus the Galilean. But Peter denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. Matthew 26:70. John 18:25 puts it as follows. Art thou not also one of his disciples? Peter said, I am not. John did not deny Jesus, yet he was not molested. The soldiers and officers had made a fire of coals in the court because it was cool, being just before day, and Peter stood there warming himself with them. John 18:15-18. This was the first denial. He got with the enemies of Jesus. He mingled with the wrong crowd if he did not wish to deny the Lord. Much depends upon the company one keeps and the crowd one is in. One is known by the company one keeps. Keep good company or none is most excellent advice. Peter did not seek such company. He simply did not avoid it. His conviction and courage were not sufficient for this test. Not a few brethren would have exerted a much stronger and far better influence during and since the terrible war. They avoided warlike company. Many, John-like, pursued a stern and steadfast course.